Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolli right here on LA Talk Radio.
Aren't you ever?
Yes.
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 This is a very important state of the arts.
It's an important state of the arts. Why is that?
It is, because it's a marked day.
It's a marked day.
It is, ladies and gentlemen, it is Paul Strolli's last live broadcast with State of the Arts.
From the studio. I hope to do some remotes from my adopted hometown of Chicago, where I am moving back to with my lovely, small but perfectly formed wife, Monica. She's small, but she's perfectly formed. She's a tiny little thing.
Dance, Monica, dance.
She's going to love that one. But no, very, very excited. But Chicago's been really great to me, and there's more things on the horizon there work-wise.
And
I was on Chicago PD last week and had a nice little scene there.
Yes,
and so looking forward to it.
Well, and you love Chicago, and we love Chicago. So.
I love Chicago. Yeah. It's my favorite city. I love Los Angeles. You know what I found out, Michael, totally accidentally? The truck, the moving truck that is coming to pick up our stuff is picking it up exactly 20 years to the hour that the truck dropped us off in L.A. 20 years ago.
What?
Literally, May 26th, noon. Well, 1996 was when the truck arrived.
Wow.
And then, so it's exactly 20. So even accidentally, I'm obsessive compulsive. Even when I don't try. Just happens that way.
Like your show. Hundreds of performances.
And how was your week, Michael?
We had a full dance card today.
Yeah,
a little busy here. We've got some beautiful theater opening up in Los Angeles this weekend. One of our guests has a lovely show, L.A. Now and Then. It's opening officially tomorrow night. And then I Only Have Eyes for You, which is at the Montalban Theater, I should say, in Hollywood.
Really?
New musical about Al Dubin.
Oh.
Yeah. So good stuff working all around town. All the more reason to put down the remote and get out of your house to go see theater.
Exactly. Right? Let's hit the ground running here. We forgot to thank our sponsors at the top of the show. So you want to kick it off, Michael?
Yes, indeed. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We are grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar. And I just want to do a little bit of a shout-out, not only to Breakdown Services, but also specifically to Gary Marsh. Gary Marsh, who created and basically invented the Breakdown and created all number of services for actors, Breakdown Services, and Actors Access and all of these other companies, sub-companies that serve actors. There is not an individual, I think, in Southern California that has done more to help the business side of actors, casting directors, managers, talent representatives, and we're very grateful to him for sponsoring us now. Next week will be 6 years on the air.
Yes, he has renewed us for another year.
Yes, and Andrew David James, who will step up to this mic to take my place, but wanted to give a special thanks to Gary Marsh and
Thank you, Gary.
Services for all that they do.
All right. Paul, as you know, we have a jam-packed show today.
Jam-packed.
We have the lovely Joanne Hudson, executive director of the Ridgefield, Connecticut Independent Film Festival, who will be leading us off today via telephone from where else but Ridgefield.
Ridgefield, Connecticut. Via or via? What is it?
I say via.
You say via?
You say via.
Let's call the whole thing.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm a little late on these, Michael, but
there we go.
And we've got two Broadway stars in the mix today. The gorgeous Carrie O'Malley, and I can attest to that because she's mere feet from me here with us in the studio, and the equally gorgeous Mary Callahan, who will be calling in just a bit later in the program to talk about their co-headlining appearance in a very special salute to the late but legendary singer Rosemary Clooney, coming up June 6th at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal.
And that's not all, Paul. Also with us in studio is venerable producer, director, writer Bruce Kimmel.
And donut aficionado. That's not included there, but it should be.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
I forgot about that. The donut with the peanut butter involved.
Yes, exactly.
And he is here today to talk about L.A. Now and Then, a new musical, as I mentioned earlier, a new musical review about the city that was and the city that is. It officially opens tomorrow night, May 13th, at the Los Angeles City College's Caminito Theater. But let's get to our first guest right now.
Let's do, Michael, let's do. Her plays have been produced and developed throughout the U.S. and abroad by such entities as the Huntington Theater Company and Boston Playwrights Theater. That's in Boston, by the way. Here, Arts Center, East Side Commedia at the Underground, Zero Festival, PS, I might have that run together, Festival PS122, she can fix it for me, New York Fringe, and Columbia Stages, to mention but a few. Her screenplay, The Toy Maker, co-written with husband Spencer Eldritch, was a recent semi-finalist in the Academy of Motion Pictures Nickel Fellowships.
However, her most recent and upcoming production is the Ridgefield Independent Film Festival, also known as RIFF, R-I-F-F, not to be confused with the character in West Side Story. A site-specific town-wide film festival, which she is creating and directing, while partnering with the Ridgefield Library, the Aldrich Contemporary Art Museum, the Ridgefield Playhouse, Keeler Tavern Museum, the Garden of Ideas, beautiful name, and more in Ridgefield, Connecticut. Please welcome Joanne Hudson.
There she is. Hello, Joanne.
Hello.
Hello.
There we go. Joanne, it's good to have you. I know this is the silliest question in the world, but are you a little busy?
A little bit, yeah.
I would imagine so. I would imagine so.
Next week.
Joanne, do you have us on a speakerphone? If you have us on a speakerphone,
Should I stick that off?
Yeah, okay. If you could. There's just a tiny little bit of a delay that kind of throws us a little bit on the audio here. So are you back to handheld?
I am back to handheld.
Beautiful. Nice. Far better, far better. So, Joanne, I'm very, very excited that this festival is happening. For our listeners, this is the town where I grew up, actually. I went to first to 12th grade in Ridgefield, Connecticut, and just a sweeter little New England town does not exist. It's a beautiful, beautiful place. And Joanne, was there a causal event for you to do this film festival? Was it a eureka moment, or was it something that you've been thinking about for a while?
Maybe I went to a friend's film at a festival in New York, and also I had been talking to friends who had films in festivals, and I don't know, I just thought it seems like Ridgefield should have a film festival. We have such great venues and it's such a great town, and I think I've been walking this town up and down Main Street for several years now, and it's kind of, when you walk in this town, you kind of feel like you might be in a movie set.
Yes, that's very true.
It's incredibly beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I brought it up to someone at an arts council meeting, and they whisked me off to talk to some other people, and then she put me in touch with some other people, and before I knew it was underway.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because you mentioned there's a number of new venues there in town, reasonably new. There's the Prospector Theater, the Ridgefield Playhouse, and the Prospector Theater is a very, very unique space, Michael. I don't know if we mentioned it on the show here before, but it was created to not only to provide a theater for the town, but also it employs primarily people with disabilities. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, and it's sort of an outreach for them and a place of work for them, which is a wonderful, wonderful effort.
Absolutely.
We actually had our interns trained with them this morning. Their prospects trained our interns in ticket taking, customer service, and Sparkle, which is what they call their training motto. They and it was really great.
Oh, good.
Valerie Jensen runs that place, and it's her vision and her mission, and it's an amazing, wonderful place to see a film.
So that's one of the venues. Is the Prospector? Then you have the Ridgefield Playhouse, which is another one, and then Keeler Tavern. And
Keeler Tavern Museum, yep.
And what is the Garden of Ideas exactly?
Oh, the Garden of Ideas is up the street. We actually don't, that's not one of our film venues. The film venues are Keeler Tavern Museum, Prospector Playhouse, Ridgefield Library, and the Aldrich Museum of Contemporary Art. Yeah. And we also have an outdoor screening of A Hard Day's Night happening our opening night in Ballard Park, and that's free and open to the public.
Yeah.
And we're also having bands there all day on Saturday. So
no, it's
just a very festival atmosphere.
It's just wonderful. And the thing is, because of this town, this beautiful New England town, which is like the New England equivalent of Mayberry, most of these venues are walking distance from each other.
Oh, really?
You could just, you know, walk around and see all of these different places. I want to, before I forget, Joanne, throw the information out there. It's a very simple website to remember. It's RIFF, as in Ridgefield Independent Film Festival, .website. There's no .com or anything, just RIFF.website. And we will throw that information out there a couple of more times before the end of the hour. But Joanne, can you give us a little teaser about a couple of the films that you're excited about that are coming up there? I don't want to mention The Beating, which is a short film that I did that will be playing at the Aldrich Contemporary Museum as part of Program J at 1:30 on Saturday, May 21st. I'm not going to spring that up. But whatever you're interested in bringing up, Joanne.
Yeah, which, by the way, I want to say I had no idea that you ever had any connection to Ridgefield when that film was chosen.
Oh, but that's wonderful.
A really nice surprise.
Yes, that's wonderful. Yeah. Nice to hear.
We have another Ridgefielder, Lewis Gordon, with a film at The Prospector called Girl in the Chair, another short. We have some international films and filmmakers actually coming from China to see them in our student program, a film called ICU. We have a film at the Playhouse called Surviving Sandy Hook, which focuses on the three families after 12/14, nice. And it's actually a very uplifting film. I encourage everyone to see.
My sister is very excited about that one. My sister lives in Sandy Hook and has for years, and my brother is in Newtown. And needless to say, they have a special connection to the events there, and they're very excited about seeing that one. So I'm looking forward to that.
Good.
Yeah,
good. That's wonderful.
So Joanne,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to ask you, so you did not know Paul Strolley as a young boy when he was there?
No,
no,
Joanne's far younger than I am. Joanne's far younger than I am.
Oh, okay. Yes, well, I was assuming that you're young yourself, Paul. But
no, I never was, actually.
Never was.
I just sprung out of the earth fully born.
Well, she will know more about you once you get back there. I guarantee that.
Joanne, we're sort of winding down here, but I wanted to ask you, there was a film I saw on the site, and I don't recall the name of it, but it features Adrian Brody. Is it the kickoff film? Is it the...
That is actually the marquee centerpiece of the festival, which I would have mentioned in a moment. Manhattan Night. It is a film starring Adrian Brody, Jennifer Beals, Yvonne Strahovski, and Campbell Scott. It's adapted and directed by writer-director Brian DeCubellis from the Colin Harris novel Manhattan Nocturne. Which is now being actually re-released, I just found out, as Manhattan Night, the novel. It was a New York Times notable book, I believe. And that is playing at the Ridgefield Playhouse, 7 p.m. on Saturday the 21st. And there will be a Q&A afterwards with the director, and there is also an after party in the lobby.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Well, thank you, Joanne. We appreciate you taking
absolutely.
The time during what is probably a very, very, definitely a very, very busy week for you. We're speaking to Joanne Hudson with the Ridgefield Independent Film Festival. Once again, tickets, riff.website. That's riff.website. And you can get there, and there's an Eventbrite link. It'll take you to a page with all sorts of options. You can buy individual tickets for the different programs, but as is always the case with these festivals, buy a pass, because it's so much cheaper at the end of the day, and you get to see so many films, and I'm very, very excited about and grateful to be a part of it. Thank you, Joanne. We appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks, Michael.
You bet. Best of luck with that. I wish I could come back myself, but maybe next year, huh?
Maybe next year.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks again, Joanne.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
How nice she is.
She is, and what a resume she has. We only touched upon the surface of what she has done in her life, especially with theater and plays and so
on. Yeah, no. I found out, and I went online and saw her through a Facebook friend, and we have half a dozen Facebook friends.
Oh,
together,
really?
Just because of the, you know how it is when you both people are in the biz. But let's continue since we have such a full dance card today, okay?
Absolutely.
Our next two guests coming up, both from New York's Great White Way, will be sharing the spotlight in a very special tribute show dedicated to the memory of legendary recording artist Rosemary Clooney, which a person I know is very dear to your heart, Michael.
Yes.
For the 10th anniversary of Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal in North Hollywood, California. Our in-studio guest, in-studio.
It's in-studio.
Yeah, of the Southampton in-studios. Our in-studio guest is not only a Broadway star, having appeared in Into the Woods, White Christmas, Billy Elliot, Annie Get Your Gun, and the Broadway revival of On a Clear Day, but she's also a frequent guest star on episodic television. Please welcome the glorious Miss Kerry O'Malley.
Hello.
And calling in from Nashville, Tennessee.
That's right.
Where she is a featured co-star in the U.S. national tour of Jason Robert Brown's The Bridges of Madison County, currently playing Jackson Hall at the Tennessee Performing Arts Center through May 15th. She, too, stepped onto the Broadway in the most recent revival of Annie, starring Jane Lynch, as well as the closing company of Mamma Mia. She has delighted audiences in such national tours as Mamma Mia, Damn Yankees, and The Sound of Music with Marie Osmond, and regional theater across the country. Give it up for the one and only Mary Callanan.
Mary! Mary!
Hello, everyone!
Mary, thank you for turning your radio down. I think we heard a little feedback, but you seem to have remedied it. Is that true?
Well, yes, I turned it off.
Oh.
I was so listening. I was listening to every word.
Hanging on to every
word. But then I decided to be part of it instead.
Oh, well, we're so happy you did.
So
thank
now,
you for doing
Mary
this.
And Kerry. Kerry
yes.
and Mary.
Yeah.
Hi, Kerry.
Hi.
I'm curious about something, because, Michael, you mentioned that one or two of these lovely young ladies had a great affection for Rosemary Clooney.
They both do?
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
So it was
Which was
one of
so
these,
odd that...
I mean, not that people wouldn't, but
well,
just,
yes,
you know,
I mean,
especially given, you know, how close she
well,
is
Mary
to
Well, Mary has a particular passion for Rosemary as well, and Kerry has actually... you know, been a fan of Rosemary's for a long time, and recently she and I were kind of communicating through Facebook last night, was at the Rosemary Clooney House, which has turned into a museum in Augusta.
Oh, really?
And there's some amazing stuff that she was showing me, an album of photos that she had taken.
Okay.
Actually, one of the most impressive things was a letter from Bing Crosby to Paramount Pictures recommending Rosemary Clooney to be in the movie White Christmas.
Really?
Yes.
Isn't
well,
that great?
Yeah.
Wow. Not
yeah.
like he had any clout.
I know. I was doing the White Christmas tour. I was playing Rosemary's part in White Christmas. And we were playing Cincinnati, and her house is very close to Cincinnati, so we did a little field trip and then went to see Rosemary Clooney Street and the house where she grew up, and got to go to her special room at the restaurant with Nick and Nina Clooney, and it was
oh,
really
lovely people that they are.
I mean, just so lovely. And they came to see White Christmas, and it was thrilling. And just to see the clothes that she wore in the movie, the house is... Just to be in her house is really cool, but then they have so many great artifacts, so that was really thrilling.
Wow. Mary, what is your history with her? Is there anything you can share?
Well, I guess I could just say I am a super fan girl of Rosemary. I got to see her, I couldn't remember, I think it might be 7 times.
Oh, wow.
I really am a fan girl. I'm... I am told is a huge. Go ahead.
7 kind of borders on stalker there, Mary.
I was young and I didn't know where else to go. I would make the rounds between Mel Torme, Rosemary Clooney, Joe Williams, while other 20-year-olds were going to see other bands. That's where I was headed.
Mary has excellent taste.
Now, I'm sure she does. Now, in terms of the content for this show, did you, Mary, or you, Kerry, did either of you, do you weigh in on the songs that you're going to do? Michael, did you just provide them with a list?
I actually did, because it was a list that... was personal to me and my experiences with Rosemary, having road managed her for a long time, and also just our relationship in general, which was through the day that she passed. And so each song in the show is very meaningful. Carrie more or less takes the years of the younger Rosemary Clooney,
okay,
and then Mary will do the...
Being the senior member of this team. Go ahead.
I didn't say
not
that.
Not by much, Mary.
No, but I thought I would give it away.
Mary's in her late 30s, so I got you. Yeah. She's actually honoring us with tunes that I've selected from Rosemary's last album, and it's called The Last Concert, which indeed was the last major concert that she gave before she passed away.
Oh, okay.
So, and that was done in Hawaii, a place she loved to go at any time. She'd drop everything else if she could get there. And it's a beautiful album, and I know that Mary is going to bring it to life in the most beautiful way. So, as Carrie will
from
do...
From your mouth.
Yes, yes, indeed.
And, you know, what's interesting is Bruce Kimmel is sort of responsible for this because...
It's true.
I was doing a Kritzerland concert with Bruce and sang one of Rosemary's songs from White Christmas, which is where Michael first heard me sing a Rosemary Clooney song, and that got us to talking, and that's how that was all the genesis. So Bruce,
oh my
he
God,
really
you mean
is the kingpin of LA.
It's the old 6 degrees of Kimmel. It's the 6 degrees
the
of Kimmel.
Man's got good taste. See, it's a theme today.
And she introduced me to Mary Callanan.
Yes.
Really?
And
Carrie introduced me to Mary Callanan.
Yes.
Mary.
Now, where was I during all this?
I don't know. Mary and I actually got together when she was out here in the Bridges
of Madison. Because of Carrie.
Because of
Carrie, I was in town at the Amundsen doing the Bridges of Madison County, which I'm still doing.
Yeah.
And Carrie had come to a benefit I did, and we know each other. We're both New England girls.
Yes.
Okay. And Carrie said, you know who you need to meet? You need to meet Michael Sterling, because he's doing a show, and I think you would be perfect.
Yeah.
So that's how it all happened, folks.
Yep. I thought Bruce should know.
Michael Kismet.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. We had a nice lunch, didn't we, Mary?
We did. It was lovely.
And yeah. Mary,
you paid, so it was even better.
Wait a minute. Michael paid? Oh, man, you must be
earned by that.
Mary, so you're on the road with Bridges of Madison County, so you're coming in solely for this, right?
She is.
You are correct.
On a break from the show that she's doing now.
Just coming from Bridges of Madison County, coming out for this. And
sure, but again, this goes back to my fangirl myth of Rosemary Clooney. I had said to Michael, that was back in January, and I said, I hate to say it out loud, but anytime, any place, anywhere, if I'm at all able to be there, I will. And it just how it happened. It came on one of our layoffs. So, KLA, I'm coming your way.
Well, it's that same. It's just that same synchronicity that's been evidenced by what's already been discussed here. Just that it seems to me like the pieces are just falling into place with the Bruce Kimmel connection and then the introduction of Michael and all that. But speaking of this, Michael, before we forget and continue our conversation with these ladies, let people know how they can get tickets for this.
Absolutely. It's coming up Monday, June 6th at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal. And that is in the beautiful NoHo Arts District of North Hollywood. Everything is coming up. Rosie is the title of this anniversary tribute, starring Mary Callanan and Carrie O'Malley, as we've discussed, and musical direction by James Lent, I might add. Seating is at 5:30. Performance is at 7 p.m. And we have made it so affordable for you to come and have a nice evening with us, a $20 cover and a $15 food or beverage minimum. And the venue itself is located at 5303 Lancashire Boulevard in the NoHo Arts District. As I said, valet parking is available. We do require, cocktail attire, if you won't mind that. And tickets, most important, Sterling's Upstairs. I'm going to give you this direct address. Sterling's Upstairs, 060616.brownpapertickets.com. Or you can call them at 800-838-3006, extension 1. They have live operators 24/7. Or if you're online, just go to Brown Paper Tickets, put in the name Rosemary Clooney. It'll bring it right up for you.
Yeah, another way to remember that, too, for those people who aren't furiously jotting this down, it's Sterling's Upstairs. It's 060616 because it's the date. It's June 6th of 16. So Sterling's Upstairs, 060616.brownpapertickets.com. And much like the Richfield Independent Film Festival, we'll throw that information out a couple more times for the hour, especially when we have more info to talk to Bruce about. But before we get on to Mr. Kimmel, Carrie, what we talked about Mary's show that she's involved with, and what you got? Anything else on your dance card right now?
I did a pilot for Amazon earlier this year of The Last Tycoon, based on the F. Scott Fitzgerald novel.
Oh wow!
Written and directed by Billy Ray, and that pilot should air on Amazon in June. Amazon has a fan voting process, so
right.
the pilots actually air, unlike most other pilots for network stuff. So we hope that it gets picked up. And
so the online vote is what dictates what gets chosen?
It's part of it. I don't think it's all of it. I'm sure.
Wow, that,
that
would be incredible.
The investment they made in the project has a lot to do with
sure.
it. And the pedigree of the Kelsey Grammer and Matt Bomer star, and it's such a great period in history about old Hollywood and
yeah.
sort of inspired by Irving Thalberg and Louis B. Mayer.
Isn't your character, is that the character where you are?
I play one of the writers. So
oh, okay.
I had done a pilot earlier last year in the fall where I played Hedda Hopper.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask.
In a
you.
Pilot for USA that was called Paradise Pictures. So I seem to have a lock on the period Hollywood.
Oh, I saw the photo
well,
of US Hedda
You
Hopper.
Do have that
fun.
Sort of look, though. You do
yeah,
have that sort of, you
I was
know.
Born in the wrong time, it seems.
Just sort of a very, you know.
Marino
elegance.
Hera.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Only.
Kind of lovely young look.
And Mary, how much longer are you on the road with Bridges? Are you? I know you have the break coming up, but then do you to continue for months and months, or how does it go for you?
We're out until about the third week in July.
Okay.
When we come back, we play Kansas City and Minneapolis, and then we hit the Kennedy Center for the 4th of July, which is fantastic.
Oh, wow.
So we'll be in Washington for a couple of weeks, and then we close it out in Greensboro.
In Greensboro.
South Carolina.
And Mary, didn't the tour start in 2015?
It did. It started in... No, wait.
No.
What year?
No.
It started in November in Des Moines.
Right. And then
yep.
it came to the Amundsen right from there.
I've been living out of a suitcase for quite some time. I'm not right. quite sure. I know I'm in Nashville right now. But
I think L.A. was the second date after... The next date after Des Moines, right?
You are correct.
Right.
We spent the holidays, the Christmas holidays in Los Angeles, where
that's
it was
nice.
Warmer in Boston than it was in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
That's,
oh.
That's okay.
That's what I'm getting to look
but
forward to.
But being with that show in Des Moines must have been a very special situation, right?
It was quite wonderful because, of course, the Waller book and the Clint Eastwood, Meryl Streep film put them, you know, they're very, very proud of this story. And they really made us feel incredibly welcome. And with Marsha Norman's fabulous book and Jason Robert Brown's double Tony winning score, we're having a heck of a time. And the people of Iowa really took it as their own, as folks in Iowa are wont to do. And we hope that we're still making them as proud as we did when we were in Des Moines.
Well, it was one of my favorite shows I've seen in an awfully long time. So I'm
well,
so happy to
nice.
Be able to work with you and have seen your work on the stage here at the Amundsen, and we'll be seeing it on my stage now. So.
And Mary, I don't want to put you on the spot to do promotion for it, but is there a URL or a website address you can throw us for people who want to see you in that production?
Oh, you're so funny. I should know that off the top of my head.
Well,
I'm pretty sure it's Bridges. I am pretty sure it's bridgesmusical.com.
And that's what it is,
word.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Michael's.
Yeah.
Michael.
What do I win? Tell me
yeah.
what I win.
You win the oven mitt.
I win the chance to sing Rosemary Clooney.
There you go.
That's
you
right.
go.
Oh,
what
I do win.
And on that note, I think that's a great note to end on. And we'll let you get back to your life there and prepare for your performance tonight, Mary. But thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to call in, and we do appreciate
sure.
it. We're going to keep our mitts on Miss O'Malley for the rest of the hour here and chat with
fantastic.
Her further.
You
but,
left
you win again.
Yes.
See you all soon.
All right.
Bye,
thank
Karen.
You, Mary. Thank you, Mary. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye.
What a lovely person.
Yes, she is.
The
she
best.
Is. Really yeah. is. Now, Mary hung up. Carrie is here. Carrie, have you worked with Mary performing prior to this?
No, we haven't actually performed together, but we have a lot of friends in common and a great love for Boston sports in common.
And, is that where you're from, Boston?
I'm from Nashua, New Hampshire, which is about 45
you're
minutes
You're from
north.
Nashua?
I am indeed.
Holy cow.
I know.
And my wife went to school in Boston, but her aunt and uncle and cousins, they all live in Nashua.
It's a wonderful place. As a matter of fact, when I was growing up, twice it was selected by Money Magazine as the best place to live in the United States, which is crazy. So, yeah, I grew up there. My dad is from Newton, Mass., and my mom's from Belmont, Mass., so, and I follow all the four major teams there. So we have that in common. So maybe we'll get a little Red Sox tribute
there is
to
no,
the Rosie show.
You,
don't go blurting it out in the middle of a number, though, you know?
Oh, wow. I'll finish every song with Go Sox!
All right. Wow. Well, there is a gentleman sitting to Michael's left that has been sitting here patiently. I'm going to give him the introduction he is so due. Our next guest is a producer, director, writer, and composer who wrote, directed, and starred in the cult movie hit The First Nudie Musical, available on special edition Blu-ray. He also co-created with David Wechter the story for the hit film The Faculty, directed by Robert Rodriguez.
As an actor, he guest starred on most of the long-running television shows of the 1970s, including The Partridge Family, Happy Days, Vernon Shirley, MASH, Alice, and many others. He's also a Grammy-nominated producer of theater music, having produced over 180 albums. Opening tomorrow night, May 13th, now playing through May 21st at the Caminito Theater on the campus of his alma mater, Los Angeles City College, is his latest endeavor, L.A. Now and Then, a new musical review. Please welcome the multi-talented Bruce Kimmel. Hello, Bruce.
Thank you so much for that applause.
Not at all. Well, you brought him, Bruce.
I just love that there's an audience here.
You bust him in.
You know, it's hard to fit that many people here in the studio, but we manage.
And they all climbed up four flights.
Didn't we? They're still climbing up.
That's why. Well, if they actually had climbed up the stairs, the applause would be a little more like this. So, Bruce, you do, Carrie mentioned the Kritzerland stuff that you'd done so frequently. And
Kritzerland being his record company his entertainment company.
Right, at Sterling's upstairs at the Federal, and you put these reviews together, and you've done this thing now. What is that process like? Do you pick the songs, and thinking of creating a narrative, or do you have sort of like a narrative theme in your head and then pick songs to match that? What, the chicken or egg? What is
for the Kritzerland shows, when we started, it was all based on the albums I'd produced, and we've sort of gotten beyond that now. And so, I pick a theme or a composer or a kind of an evening. And then I do normally choose all the songs.
Okay.
Of late, because we've been doing this other show, I have given the performers a chance to pick some songs, as Carrie knows, and that's fun too. But normally I pick the songs because I like to challenge everybody, and I like them to, I like new material a lot and unknown material a lot, and we do a lot of that in our shows. So it's a journey, but I try to create evenings with it's not a narrative, but with some kind of structure.
Some sort of theme, overall theme, yeah. That's exactly the type of stuff that appeals to me. You mentioned a little of some of the lesser heard things. Monica's brother, my wife's brother, used to have a radio show in Chicago called One from the B-Side. And he would play just the flip side of singles. Of course,
what a great idea.
Hear those ones that are a little less played. And I find over time that those are the ones that you embrace even more because you're not saturated with them.
Yeah.
You know? What do you, Michael... how many Kritzerland shows were there so far at the Federal? Well, it was one a month, wasn't there for a while?
Yes, but
we've only missed 1 month so far.
But in total, you've done 65, 66?
We're 68.
68?
Yes, it's the time when the show number and my age converge.
It's the artistic vortex. Yes.
Can only happen once.
Thank goodness. Huh?
So now and then, can you give without giving too much away, can you give the listeners a little taste of what they can expect?
I'll give it all away. It's, you know, I was born and raised in Los Angeles. I'm a native. And
a big fan of LA.
And I love the city. I've loved it, especially when I was growing up in the neighborhood I grew up in, which was near Pico and La Cienega.
Oh.
And, you know, it's. I've watched it morph. I've watched it grow. I've watched it not care about its history. And so I just had this idea last year to do this little Valentine. All my books, I've written 16 books, they all take place in L.A.
Oh, wow.
And I thought it would be fun to just show the now and then, like those photo books do.
Yeah.
And I have to say there's a lot more then than now. now doesn't interest me that much, but it's got a little of everything in it. And this, you know, I wrote a lot of it, but I also enlisted a lot of really wonderful collaborators.
Tell us about those collaborators.
Bruce Valanche, yeah, and the Broadway composer Paul Gordon, who just has a show closing in New York called Daddy Long Legs, and
oh, wow,
have Jane Eyre on Broadway, and Adrian Russ and Doug Haverty and
Wayne Moore.
You have Browerman. The list. I don't. Michelle Browerman and Karen Gottlieb. And
Grant Geisman.
Grant Geisman. It's a wonderful group of writers. And
David Wechter.
And my friend David Wechter. Yeah. They have, and there were other collaborators who, you know, as shows present themselves to you and take on the life they're meant to take on, you have to discard stuff.
Well, that's like a huge pedigree involved in the show. And of course, Richard Sherman and his brother Robert.
Oh, my God. I went to Richard first, actually, yep, and I was not going to do the show unless he was part
yeah
of it. And I went to him with a very specific idea for a song, which he, I think, was nervous about. And he gestated on it for 4 months, and then he called me with the lyric, and it was like he couldn't even read the
lyric. Of course, we're talking about
weeping.
Richard Sherman of
Mary Poppins,
Mary Poppins
yeah
fame,
I was lucky
and
enough
so many
to,
other things.
I was lucky enough to meet Mr. Sherman when I did Mary Poppins at Cabrillo Music Theater recently,
right,
which I remember, Bruce, I saw you after the show one night. And
they had such a hard time flying you in that show.
I know.
They did.
They?
But
they
did.
Managed.
Yeah, it was like the original Peter Pan with Kate Smith. It was the chains kept breaking. But no, it was a wonderful production there.
It was
and
indeed.
Richard Sherman, what a lovely
He's
man.
A wonderful man, and I had sort of tasked him. I said, write me a song about how it was to be at Disney in the 60s.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted, yeah, and boy, did he ever write a song. It made people cry last night. We had an audience,
oh,
a really
nice
small group, and I just wanted some new energy in the room, so I brought 15 people in.
Oh, wow.
It's a beautiful song.
Okay, and then that's can you give the title of that so people
the song know? Is called The Whimsy Works,
the
which
Whimsy
is what
Works.
The corner of Dopey Drive and Mickey Avenue was at Disney Studios.
Oh,
sweet.
Okay. Right? Well,
okay.
April Adia, who is an alma mater, the school's also an alma mater for her, but she's gone on to some great things.
Yeah, she's done a lot.
And Robert Yacco.
Robert Yacco.
Lovely Robert Yacco and his beautiful credits in New York and all over the country. And they are leading a student cast that Bruce has put into this show to give this opportunity to sing this amazing music.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
This is the entire cast is a student cast?
Except for
with
April
the exception,
and Robert.
Yeah, with the exception of April and who was the other gentleman?
Robert Yacco.
Robert Yacco.
And they're
say
a really good group. And, you know, very few of them had done a musical before. I went and did two workshops there to show them what they were in for.
Right.
And very few of them had danced. And, you know, I have a wonderful choreographer, Cheryl Baxter.
Yes.
Who did Mary Poppins.
Oh right, Cheryl Baxter, of yeah course, yes.
And she has put these people through their paces. I have put them through their paces.
I saw a little video that was
and
online.
And they have stepped up to
they were
the
dancing
plate.
Oh.
And they are great. We're just a wonderful group of kids.
She's really astonishing. I mean, I'm sure they are, but Cheryl is really astonishing.
She's great. I've worked with her for a decade.
We did Step in Time in Mary Poppins.
Yeah.
Never been in a show that got a mid-show standing ovation, and Step in Time just burned it down.
That
was huge.
At
yeah
the ALS benefit.
Yeah, we
too,
did
right
that whole number.
Yeah, yeah.
That,
yeah,
right,
yeah, that Juliana
and, you know,
was,
I
yeah
remember,
was,
Paul, yeah, in the process of you, when you were in the show out there at Cabrillo, that they gave every cast member that was doing that number, wasn't it a video of the number and a breakdown of it before you
not
even
step,
got into
not
rehearsal?
Step in Time. No, they gave the video to those of us that weren't dancers, and that was because at the end everyone would do the supercalifragilistic
that's
letters.
The that's the thing.
And
yeah
because it's so fast and you have to pose for every letter that, you know,
yeah
the whole curtain call was that.
Yeah,
I but that. I want to give the information for LA Now and Then.
Yes.
which I'm going to do shortly. But before I forget, Bruce, and I hate to use airtime to do this, but I just want to tell you that there's a website you will absolutely love called Chaplin Then and Now. And what it is stills from Chaplin films. And they show those locations in Los Angeles now where they were. Are you familiar with it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. So you're
already familiar. There's one for Buster Keaton.
Why does that not surprise you?
Oh, is there a Buster Keaton one, too?
Yeah. It's amazing. I love those books. And,
I do, too.
There's a wonderful book by Ed Ruscha called Hollywood Now and Then and Now. And it's literally in 1983, I think, he went and photographed the entirety of 73, the entirety of Hollywood Boulevard from its start, which is off in the strip somewhere where it's all houses, all the way down to Prospect, where it ends. And then he did the same thing in 2004.
Wow.
And so one half of the book, if you turn it upside down, is that, a little strip of pictures, and then you can see how it changed in 2004. And there was still a lot left in 2004. If you did that now, there's nothing left.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Wow. What the last
I would be all
is.
Over that. We are talking to Bruce Kimmel right now. LA Now and Then is the show. It previews Wednesday, May 11th and Thursday, May 12th. And then it opens, May 13th. See, I'm moving, so dates mean nothing to me. Performances are Saturday, May 14th at 2 and 8, Thursday, May 19th at 3 and 7:15, Friday, May 20th at 8, and Saturday, May 21st at 2 and 8. For information and tickets, 323-953-4000, extension 2990. And this email, or rather this website address, we'll give a couple more times so that we don't have to go through all of the details and you can find it all yourself. theateracademy.lacitycollege.edu. That's Theater Academy, and theater has the R-E spelling. theateracademy.lacitycollege.edu. And Michael, give them the information about the parking and the location.
Yes, so of course, and tickets also. Tickets are phenomenally well-priced at $14. General admission, $10. For students and seniors and veterans. Theater location and parking, Caminito Theater, as I said earlier, 855 North Vermont Avenue in Los Angeles, on the campus of Los Angeles City College. Complimentary parking is available in the faculty staff lot. Doesn't mean you have to be part of the faculty or the staff. Yeah. And that is on a street called Heliotrope between Melrose Avenue and Santa Monica Boulevard. Very easy to find. So we're making this super easy for you. And again, a new musical which through original songs, sketches, and monologues take a look at the city of Los Angeles as it is now and as it was back then.
And as Bruce said earlier, it might be a little more then than now, but the then is what we need. We have enough of now.
Yeah.
We have enough.
We don't
now.
Want more now.
We don't want more now. We want more then. And before we get to the next thing, I want to throw these other websites out here for the other things that we're talking about. Of course, earlier in the hour, we spoke to Carrie O'Malley as well as Mary Callahan.
With Mary Callanan.
Callanan?
Callanan.
Callanan?
Mm-hmm.
Callanan?
Yep.
So
we don't want her calling in and
chastising. This, of course, is Mary Callanan at Sterling's Upstars at the Feedrel.
There you go.
Everything's coming up rosy. 10th anniversary tribute to Rosemary Clooney with musical direction by James Dent. And that
James Lent.
James Dent? I tell you.
Jamie Dent. I've been, James Denton.
That's it. I've been drinking since 10. Seating's at 5:30. Performance at 7. It's a $20 cover. It's a $15 food or beverage minimum. You can't beat this. This is at 5303 Lancashire Boulevard in the beautiful NoHo Arts District. Valet parking right behind the building. Tickets, Sterling's Upstairs, 060616.brownpapertickets.com. And the Richfield Independent Film Festival. I'm so glad this URL is short because I'm tripping over my tongue. My last show, riff.website. That's all you have to know for the Richfield Independent Film Festival.
That's
we spoke to Joanne Hudson earlier in the hour, and she was lovely as well.
And I want to say about Bruce's show, seriously, the first time that I saw one of his productions was at LACC, and it was Little Abner, a show that I had never seen before, and I never saw the movie, and I was blown away. And I'm not saying that because you're sitting here, because we know each other. It was truly a joyful experience in the theater that you just don't have that kind of an experience very often. Oh. You know, he's very intuitive about taking, especially the youngsters that you had in that one, the student cast members. He turned them into pros, and it's you know, he intermingles, like Barry Pearl was in that show, and our lovely Maddie
Claire Parks,
who's in New York now doing Louisa on Broadway in The Fantastics. And boy, oh boy, it is really, when you see that kind of love go into a show and it's very nurtured and you can tell everybody's having a great time, it's worth, good Lord, $14 price of admission. It's worth three times that, four times, maybe more.
And the other thing, too, not to blow too much smoke up your skirt here, Bruce, but the other thing is that you by taking these kids in and doing something, like you said, I mean, it's one thing to take a group of kids that might not have a whole lot of experience and put them in a stage play, but to take them and take the risk and do a musical with them really is just a wonderful effort, not only because of the experience for them, but also how much it challenges them. You really can make, you know, you can make them like 6'10 and bulletproof, very fearless, because it's really a baptism by fire. I mean, to take risks like that. Did you ever think that? Has it always been with musicals for you, or have you done straight plays involving the student cast?
I haven't not done a lot of straight plays, directing just one, I think. I love musicals.
Your heart's just with the musical.
And I love taking young people and who haven't done it and just making them understand the process. And for this one, unlike Little Abner, this was a new show, and I made I was making changes up till yesterday.
Wow.
In the show.
That must be very very
daunting,
very, yes,
for them.
Yeah.
I said new act two, new act two order.
Oh boy.
Okay, it's come to that time. We have to do the baptismal part.
Yes,
Carrie.
We're going to start with Carrie O'Callaghan. If I can screw up my names a little more. No, the lovely Carrie O'Malley is going to. Carrie, you got a story for us about some little theatrical faux pas?
Well, you know, I did a musical of Jane Eyre. I think it was in 1995. It was by Ted Davis and David Clark. We did it at the Oslo Theater in Florida. Beautiful chamber musical. Just a little jewel of a show that I loved so much. And at the end of the first act, I had this big musical moment, and it was this wrenching emotional moment, and I had to sort of... I'm staring right into a big spotlight, right? So you get that sort of temporary blindness when the lights go out. But at the end of the song, I had this great moment, and I'm supposed to turn up stage and run off stage. And there was a sort of a portal, and there was always somebody with a flashlight who would... You're already laughing. I haven't even gotten there yet. You're already laughing. A flashlight to sort of guide me to where I was going. Well, we were doing a student matinee, the dreaded student matinees, where, you know, it just, they're when you're doing a serious show, they can be really, really hard on you, and these kids were not having Jane Eyre, and it's a really emotional experience for Jane, and especially the end of Act One. It's so intense and emotional, and they're just not having it, and they're laughing at everything, and it's brutal, and I'm like, oh God, I can't wait to get to intermission, and I have my big moment, and I turn around, and I run, and the person who's responsible for pulling out the scrim for me to run through has not done it. Oh. And I ran into it full speed, face first, boom.
Oh, wow.
It was bad. And
wow.
You could hear the sound, and I almost knocked myself out. And I came very close to breaking my nose.
Oh, my
gosh. Yeah, so there was a lot of laughter. So it was humiliating and awful.
Good night.
Then they pulled the scrim out, and I sort of got
myself. But was the scrim pulled tight, or was it
there
just...
I don't know if you'd call it a scrim. It was there was plywood, a frame,
oh.
And I hit it right at the frame, hit my
ow.
Nose, and And then I cried a lot. It was bad. And then I had to pull myself together and do act two.
I was going to say, yeah.
Oh,
do you come back?
I'm telling you, this is not a
Jane Eyre is a battered woman.
With a weak of heart. You know what I mean? It's that was so tough.
I would have run right out the backstage door.
Oh, yeah. Keep going.
That was hard. I cried a lot.
Bruce Kimmel, what are
you going?
I think I've told this before, but it's funny, so I'll tell it again. I was doing acting in a play at the Mark Taper Forum called Forget Me Not Lane, and playing a scene with Bud Cort, and John McMartin played, if you know the actor John McMartin, was playing Bud as an older person, and he has to sit on the side of the stage for a lot of the show and watch. So Bud and I, which he did, and occasionally he has interpolation, you know, he'll throw in a line, poor prig, you know, as Bud would do something stupid in the show. So we're playing a scene, and I haven't seen the character in a while, and we're sitting, it's awkward, and he's telling me that he's into classical music now instead of our jazz, it was in the 40s play, and he says, I'm into Debussy now. And and John is supposed to say, poor prig. And so he says, I'm into Debussy now. And we don't hear anything. Both our eyes go like over to the corner. And John McMartin is asleep. And Bud cannot improvise so he just looked at me and he looked at me and I said, my character is not going to bail you out. And finally he said, Debussy. Quite a guy. And then Martin woke up and went, poor prig! Poor prig!
Oh.
I did Into the Woods with John McMartin, we have so many good stories about him. He's a delight.
Oh, and he's right here, ladies and gentlemen.
He's asleep.
Well, we are at that time. It's the end of the hour.
Boy, oh boy. Thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day to join us here.
And
Paul Sterling,
yes.
Thank you for five years.
Happy trails.
Thank you so much. Enjoyed every minute of it, Michael, and enjoyed sharing the microphone. And so grateful for the thousands, literally thousands of productions that we've shown a spotlight on through this, and that you and Andrew will continue to do for theater in Los Angeles, because we need it.
Wow.
The city needs the attention paid, especially with this whole 99 Cedar thing that's happening, and how bad that could potentially affect the opportunities for people. But before we go, let's throw just the URLs out there one more time for Bruce's show. This is LA Now and Then. It's theateracademy.lacitycollege.edu. Mm-hmm. Theater Academy, LA. LACityCollege.edu. Michael, do you want to do the one for yours?
Yes, I think the simplest way to do this, folks, is just go to brownpapertickets.com and put in the name Rosemary Clooney. That will come up. Or you can call them at 800-838-3006.
And the Ridgefield Independent Film Festival, riff.website. And looking forward to that. And thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yay.
And we'll see you next week. Or one of you will see you. We'll see Michael next week.
See you on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.